the Premier League on OTB.
Rashford thinks it into Cavani! Edison Cavani wins it!
Exclusive Premier League live commentaries every Sunday. The very best expert analysis on your phone and for free. Download the OTB Sports app now.
Yeah, hello and welcome to Monday evenings Off the Ball after what has been a jam-packed weekend of sporting action. We will speak to two of the Royal County's All-Ireland Senior Football Champion side. Monica McGurk and Vicky Wall are going to be joining us on the show a little bit after 7:30 to look back on yesterday's historic win over Dublin at Croke Park, and a magnificent day for the Royal County as well. It was another frustrating day at the office for the Republic of Ireland on Saturday, and Serbia are in town tomorrow night. We'll hear from a fiery Stephen Kenny, James McLean, and we'll get the assessment of Kenny's future from the Irish Independent football correspondent Dan McDonnell on tonight's show. Katie Taylor retained her undisputed lightweight title at the weekend, and Eric Donovan got back on the featherweight ladder. We will catch up with Lily White Lightning. That's all to come tonight. You can get in contact with us by giving us an L text. 53106 for 30 cent is the number. You can tweet us at Off the Ball. I am Richie McCormick, joined in studio by Anne-Marie Donlan. Anne-Marie,
hi Rich, how are things?
And on the line as well by Ronan Mullen. Ronan, hello to you.
How are things?
Good. It's been one of those mental weekends, and that's not even mentioning because we can't look back on something that's ongoing. But Leona Maguire has been the absolute star for the European Solheim Cup team. 3.5 points in the bag so far. It's going to be 4.5 judging by how her singles match is going so far. So it has just been a magnificent weekend across the board, pretty much, for Irish women in sport. We'll touch on the Ireland game in a moment, but I know, Ro, you were looking at Katie Taylor on Saturday night. It's almost become now where an Irish boxer retaining an undisputed lightweight title is becoming routine. And this one didn't seem to get the attention, I don't think, that other fights have had. Maybe it's because of the switch to DAZN. You might be able to cast a bit of light on that. But this did just seem like, as you mentioned last week on AM, a box-ticking exercise for Katie.
Yeah, like, you probably can't underestimate the extent to which an Irish football international consumes sort of the sporting landscape. But as you said, there were so many strands to what was happening over the weekend. And it did feel, just from a personal point of view, and it was kind of a concern I would have had. And, you know, listen, it's probably more of a boxing nerds conversation, but the move to DAZN that you alluded to, like, you are losing that big arm of, say, Sky Sports News, for example, or if there's live football on, they might mention, oh, Katie Taylor's fighting. And, you know, as much as a pay-per-view, and I suspect that card at the weekend would have been on Sky Sports box office, so would have been the 20 plus euro fee. Like, I still think people would be more inclined to hit the red button than they would be to go online and fill out a DAZN form for what was $7.99 fee to watch that fight on that whole card, which was a pretty great card on paper. So yeah, I think that is an interesting point, that maybe a Matchroom and Eddie Hearn have a bit of work to do, maybe to recapture that mainstream market. They might have underestimated the tall task that's going to be. But in the ring, and you touched on it, like I mentioned box ticks, because mandatory challengers in boxing are kind of hit and miss. It's something Anthony Joshua's alluded to, where in order to keep all those belts, and Katie's in rarefied air of having five belts, the four major ones plus the Ring magazine title, that in order to keep all of those, you have to keep each individual governing body happy. And at any given time, they have a proposed challenger that they want you to get in there so they can get the sanctioning fees and so on. So this was one of those ones where you just looked at it. Jennifer Han, former featherweight champion, but she's jumping up two weight classes at the age of 38 to take on maybe the greatest boxer that's ever lived. And it was just, you know, it was going to be a routine win for Katie. The only thing that was going to beat her is complacency. And I know you've spoken to her in the past, Richie, and anyone who's dealt with her or watched her, she's not a complacent person, so it was never going to be an issue at the weekend. So it's just, she's got that one out of the way. She's likely to fight again before the end of the year, and then we're back into big fight territory with the likes of Amanda Serrano. And to Katie's credit, you look through her roll of honour, it's 19 fights long at this stage. At least half of them have been tight unifications or yeah, big fights, so you can't really hold it against her. Mandatory challenges come with the territory, and she boxed it off with aplomb.
It does feel like we're in the kind of final chapter, though. I'm kind of getting that sense from the outside looking in. Maybe like she'd probably tell us otherwise, and that there's a dozen more fights left in her career, or maybe more, who knows. But it does seem like we're in the kind of last couple of grains of sand in the hourglass in terms of what she's going to be doing career wise and it's more a case of solidifying legacy rather than building up a division at this stage.
Yeah, well, she's obviously a two-weight world champion. If she becomes a three-weight world champion, that's the first time an Irish boxer will ever have done that. So I presume that's still on the bucket list. Jessica McCaskill, who people might remember from a fight Katie had at York Hall in the early throes of her career, it was 2017. And it was like heading in, it seemed like a routine one, but it was actually a really frenetic fight, and Jessica pushed her all the way. It's borne out that McCaskill is one of the best fighters on the planet. She's become an undisputed champion at welterweight. So if Katie wants to take that step, fight McCaskill again and become an undisputed champion in a second weight class, I think that would be the ultimate. Serrano, we mentioned, that's an achievable fight in terms of being made. It had been made before for May of last year. Then the pandemic put paid to that. So that's an achievable one. Serrano's kind of built up her profile. She was on the Jake Paul undercard there last weekend. So she's kind of got new eyeballs on her. So I think that fight's very marketable. Hearn has been talking about doing that one at Madison Square Garden. So that would be an amazing occasion, maybe the biggest women's boxing fight ever. So that's kind of in her domain. You mentioned, like, she says she wants to box till she's 40. I used to get the Tom Brady's off that, where Tom Brady used to say, I'm going to play till I'm 40. And everyone used to think, oh, he's just saying that so people would stop asking about retirement. But Tom Brady's 43 now. He's about to go into a new season. So there's no sign of him stopping. I honestly don't think Katie's any sign of her stopping either.
Really? Okay, fair enough. That puts me in my place then. I don't know. It's just, you start seeing these stories now. It's almost like the no more worlds left to conquer kind of thing of Alexander the Great, whereby, like, how much more of a legacy can she solidify? Like, she's a legend. Like, she will go down as a pioneer in boxing. And not only a pioneer, someone who's actually damn successful at it as well. So you kind of, from her own safety's sake and her own well-being's kind of sake, you just don't want to see her hang in for that one fight that's probably one fight too many.
Yeah, no, you're right. And there are, and you kind of saw it, like, you were there in Rio when you would have seen the improvement, the jump in quality from 2012 to 2016 was stark. And while she's still at the top of the pro game at the moment, you can see, like, those coming through are sort of the younger people in her division or around her division, the likes of Chantel Cameron, for example. Like, they would have possibly the wherewithal and the verve and vigour to maybe put it up to Katie. And those are the kind of fights where she could probably be doing without those. It's all about if she's going to fight again, I want to see her fight in marquee matchups, not against the Jennifer Hansel's world. She doesn't need to be going through the motions in that regard. Like, I think it's sort of a cliche, but it's a cliche because it's true that it's not the fights that take it out of you, it's the training camp. And it doesn't matter who Katie Taylor's fighting, she'd be fighting me, and she'd put in a 12 week camp of, you know, the epic proportions. So that's the thing, she never stops boxing, and I think that will eventually tell a tale, but I don't think quite yet.
Yeah, listen, it's 7:10 and we haven't even mentioned AEW's fantastic All Out last night with the return of Bryan Danielson and Adam Cole and Minoru Suzuki, and there's so much we could talk about there, Ronan. But unfortunately we have to get to the news round, which is brought to you with thanks to Gillette. Put your best face forward with their new and improved razors. I had to put all semblance of impartiality to one side yesterday online, Anne-Marie, because they're all Ireland champions. It's a good thing to say.
Yeah, they're the 2021 Ladies Football Senior Champions, and that's for the very first time. They beat Dublin yesterday at Croke Park by 2 points, 111 to 12 points, the final score. 19-year-old Emma Duggan scoring 1-2 there as Eamon Murray's side created history. The win comes just 8 months on from them winning the Intermediate Championship, and that was on their third time trying to win that Intermediate Championship. Speaking to Aisling O'Reilly after the game, player of the match Vicky Wall said this isn't an overnight success story.
You know, it's the aim when you start playing football for your county, and I suppose I don't think a lot of people thought we could do it, but I'm just so happy. It's bittersweet in the sense of a lot of girls that maybe have been with us in the tougher times aren't here today, like even just Tame of You, Aideen Guy, Niamh Lister. I just met Jenny Rispin in the corridor there, so that was an emotional embrace, but like it's definitely been building, and I know like people have given their lives to me that haven't achieved the success that we have, so I suppose this is just for everyone.
And the win comes just a week after Meath beat Tyrone to win the Electric Ireland All-Ireland Minor Championship. The lads, obviously. Niamh O'Sullivan said yesterday that this is only the beginning, targeting more success.
These are a special bunch of girls. You know, we have a special management behind us as well, like with Eamon and Paul. It's a little journey we're on. And like, you know, look, we'll enjoy the celebrations over the next few months. But like, you know, when it comes to, we'd love to, you know, we won't focus on next year just yet. But look, it's exciting times ahead for me, ladies, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely is. We're going to hear from Vicky Wall, the player of the match, more detail after 7:30 tonight, and a little bit from Monica McGurk as well, who pulled off that magnificent save from Hannah Tyrrell in yesterday's game. Hannah's boss, Mick Bowen, was also speaking after that match, Anne-Marie.
Yeah, the result obviously meant that their aim for a 5 in a row was cut short. Manager Mick Bowen, who has been with them since 2017, was emotional at full time.
You know, I've been terribly lucky to have been involved with our group and the quality of people that we deal with, and that obviously doesn't change regardless whether we win or lose. As you guys know, this sport is so much more than a game, and we're obviously hugely proud to represent the city in this capacity. I can say this to you hand on heart, that whatever we as a management team have given them in sport, they've given us way more. And so I look back to 5 years ago, and obviously on the back of three All-Ireland defeats, I suppose today was the end of a road for probably half a dozen of that group, and you would have obviously written the script differently from our end.
Yeah, tough listen there, McBowen, but they're absolutely gracious in defeat over Dublin yesterday. We also had the intermediate and the junior finals.
Yeah, a triple header at Croke Park, and Westmeath beat Wexford 419 to 6 points in the intermediate final. So that means another Leinster team playing senior next year. And Wicklow then won the junior championship for the third time, beating Antrim 217 to 19.
Ro, there were magnificent scenes yesterday. Seeing Meath winning All-Ireland was just magnificent. I mean, I mentioned it to Vicky later on, like, it's been slim pickings from inter-county perspective from me, apart from a Christy Ring, over the course of the last two decades or a little bit more now at this stage. So to see the women's team not necessarily come from nowhere, but to come from being a Division 3 side, being an intermediate side, to winning an All-Ireland senior title against the four in a row champions, that's just magnificent stuff.
Yeah, no, it's phenomenal. And in a wider point, it just shows what's achievable in Irish sporting terms. You know, the depth of the success, the breadth of the success, and the ladder they've had to climb in such a short period of time to achieve it. It's like it kind of transcends the parameters of Croke Park yesterday in what was a fantastic performance. And as was evidenced by the interview there, like, this was not one that Dublin were just going to not turn up for. And as much as people are maybe downplaying Dublin's performance yesterday and Meath kind of caught them on the hop, I didn't think that was the case. I think Meath just enforced their game plan on Dublin, and, you know, just a spectacular performance, and all credit to them. I know as a loud person, Richie, I can give it to you. You know, this has been a hell of a couple of weeks for you. Move over Offaly, who thought they had captured the summer, but I think Meath have kind of taken top spot for the moment.
Yeah, sorry to rub that in there, Rob, but there you go. It's just being neighbourly. That's all it is. Just being
Listen,
neighbourly.
Listen, it's all above board, Richie. They won it fair and square on the pitch this time. They won it fair and square pitch last week. Joe Sheridan.
Play with the whistle. You play with the whistle, yeah. Rob. It's play with the whistle. Referee gave it. There was nothing wrong with that goal. It's absolutely fine. But we mentioned at the top of the show, Leon McGuire has been putting in a sterling effort for Europe over the course of the last 2 days. And Marina continues as well today.
Yeah, she's not stopping. Cavan's Leona Maguire remaining unbeaten so far in her first appearance at the Solheim Cup. She's currently taking on Jennifer Kupcho in the singles matches, and the latest score there, she's 3-up through 7. Europe are just 5 points away from retaining the title, and should she win this, she'll become the first ever rookie to win all her matches in her maiden tournament.
Yeah, absolutely magnificent stuff from Leona Maguire. We'll keep an eye on that throughout the course of the evening as well. 4-7 there, we're just seeing Leon McGuire against Kupcho, and Europe as it stands so far dominating the singles matches, but that could all well change. You need to get to 14 to retain the trophy. Ronan, I mentioned it to Dan in the football show, it's kind of a pitch battle now at this stage with the Republic of Ireland after Saturday's result against Azerbaijan. It's almost like a Brexit kind of Trump scenario where we've got two warring camps on social media, and nobody's ever going to really come together and coalesce to some kind of happy middle ground on this one, because we're still at war. It's a war of Irish football, Row.
Oh, totally. And like, that's a whole and sort of considered conversation you and Dan had on all sort of strands of this conversation. And I think it was streamed already, but it'll be on the radio from 9, and it's worth just sort of considering all the facets at play here, because you paint the picture well there. It has become sort of a black and white issue when it couldn't be any like further from the truth in terms of what it actually is, because, you know, I think people can will the team to achieve better things on the pitch and maybe navigate a way to beat the likes of Azerbaijan and Luxembourg at home. I don't think we're asking too much for that, but also to sort of have a big picture philosophy of how we can improve things. And, you know, like, those things can exist at the same time. Like, it can't just be a case of we're parking results to one side and it's all about like aiming for 2024 or whatever it is. Similarly, like, we can try and win these games as we go along, and like, questions can be asked, and I'd be in the Stephen Kenny camp, or would have been when he was appointed. But like, that doesn't stop me from being able to ask questions about, is he picking the right tactics, or is he navigating Ireland the right way to achieve results in these games? So that's kind of where I stand on it. It's a nuanced conversation, and there seems to be an absence of nuance often when it's being discussed.
Yeah, everybody's either painted as a Kenny fanboy slash apologist, or somebody who wants, you know, the big manager to come in. You know, there aren't any Dennis O'Briens out there to pay for managers anymore, as there was in, you know, decades gone by. Dan mentioned as well, like, Kenny's on a quarter of what his predecessors are on in terms of remuneration. So it's a different landscape, and it's one that's being played out with a really youthful team. But Kenny and James McLean and Marie were in front of the media today.
Yeah, and Republic of Ireland midfielder McLean has accused the Irish media of getting a kick out of their struggles. Stephen Kenny's side, as we know, sits second from bottom in Group A of World Cup qualifying. That's after the 1-1 draw with Azerbaijan at the weekend. They host Serbia, who are actually top of the group on goal difference, at the Aviva tomorrow night. Kenny once again going in search of his first competitive win as senior manager. McLean and Kenny spoke at that press conference ahead of the game today, and here the Derry native was asked by Nathan about the confidence levels amongst the squad, particularly those of younger players.
Yeah, we just have to just rally around them and just tell them to pay no attention, because funny enough, the media in Ireland is just as bad, if not worse, than the media in England. For they kind of get a kick out of us not doing well. And, you know, it's a shame really, but as senior players, like I said, been around a long time, we know how it works. And the young players, it's new to them, so we just have to just tell them, you know what, it's part and parcel of football, like pay no attention. And, you know, people are fickle. As soon as you start winning games, then, you know, you're the best in the world again. So, like I said, we need to start winning games, and when we do, you know, the criticism goes away.
What's your reaction then to the stories this morning in some of the papers that Stephen Kenny's position might be under threat if Serbia were to win tomorrow night?
Who's and where's that coming from? Like, do people know inside information that we don't? You know, people like to speculate, everyone's got an opinion. Funny enough, the ones that got the biggest opinions never kicked the ball in their life. So unless that's come from the FAI, then themselves, you know, the headquarters, then I wouldn't pay any attention to that. And I'm sure Stephen won't either.
How's your confidence levels with the way things have gone over the last year or so?
Confidence is fine. Like, obviously, I'm disappointed and annoyed that we're not winning games. That's, you know, it's been a difficult period for me at club level and at Ireland in the past kind of 8-9 months. But look, like I said, I'm in the game long enough now. I'm in a good place in my life where, in terms of, you know, I pay kind of no heat now, and that's only kind of been recently. You know, I'd always put up a front before and said it doesn't bother me when it really does. But no, I'm at peace now. In that sense, I think the last kind of 8 months has been a good learning curve for me. You know, I'm fit, I'm healthy, I'm playing football, I'm being selected. That's all that matters. You know what I mean? No other opinion matters anymore to me.
Ronan Mullen, we in the media are worse than that lot over in England.
Are you part of this fickle brigade, Richard?
Apparently so, yeah, apparently so. If he thinks that Ireland are getting a rough ride at the minute, I think he's seriously misguided.
Who's he talking about?
What is he talking about? Like, I don't know any manager who's had such whole support on the basis of not delivering results on the pitch. Like, it was met with universal, like, a clamour of approval.
Yeah.
Like, even when the initial appointment was made, the split appointment with McCarthy and Kenny, it was always a case of, well, we can't wait for Stephen Kenny to get it. And as we touched on at the top, like, this philosophy that's sort of wiping the slate clean, bring Ireland into a new dimension. Like, who else would be afforded that luxury of, like, almost being given a campaign written off to achieve things? And James McLean is sort of emblematic of it. Like, I really liked him as a player. I thought he was a really impactful player. But Stephen Kenny is talking about 2024 and he's building towards that. Well, if that's the case, James McLean shouldn't be in the team, like, because he's not going to be there come the next tournament. And like, the days of him offering like what James McLean offers to the side compared to some of the prospective players that are on the bench, or the likes of Jamie McGrath, who had a great game last week. Yeah. Like, if we truly are building forward, I don't see where his place is necessarily.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if he features tomorrow. The fact that he's in front of the media today suggests that he will. We're going to have live commentary of that game tomorrow night on Off the Ball. Stephen Doyle and Stewie Byrne are going to be at the Aviva for us. Build up from 7 p.m. Amory, thank you so much for coming in this evening. Also to Ronan Mullen as well. The only thing left for Katie, says a texter, in the fight game is a guest spot at the WWE Royal Rumble, or maybe launching her own range of toasted sandwich makers, says Mike. Michael, as we all know, AEW is the place to be now at this stage. We are going to be speaking to two members of the victorious women's All-Ireland football winning side. Vicky Wall and Monica McGurk are on the way next.